Happy Earth Day, and welcome to The Checkout, with live streaming concerts popping up all over the place, some musicians who are also putting on a hat of online curator and are taking it to the next level. I would definitely qualify the pianist and founder of Biophilia Records, Fabian Almazan, as that kind of person. And we're going to be talking about his upcoming online festival with a stacked lineup of artists signed to his label, and hopefully The Checkout will be bringing you some of the highlights of that festival on our Facebook page and wherever else. That's the first part of the show. Then we're going to go and speak to two Biophilia artists. They go by the group name Endless Field. That's guitarist Jesse Lewis and bassist Ike Sturm. They'll be joining us to talk about their new recording, but that would be a limitation of how to describe it. How about their new music video series, captured brilliantly in the endangered wilderness of southern Utah? And then at the very end of the show, for a little uplift and humor, Fabian Almazan and his super talented and brilliant wife, Linda Mahan Oh, they're going to join us for a new series, Alone Together, Couples in Quarantine. But first, for now, Fabian, hey, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great that you're doing everything you're doing to help highlight, the current state that we find ourselves in as touring musicians, not being able to, spread the music in person. So thank you. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Well, hey, man, I may be your biggest fan. I mean, quite frankly, you've put out some of my favorite records over the past couple of years. I mean, obviously, we worked together on the Justin Brown release, Neosi, which I guess in 2018 was one of the most streamed jazz records of the year. Those videos are still looking super badass. I really admire your work as a curator, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, I don't want to bury the lead here. What the hell are you working on right now, and what is going on?
A lot of YouTube tutorials by nine-year-olds teaching me how to use software and things like that.
Really? Nine-year-olds are teaching you?
Man, yeah, even my niece, my five-year-old niece, taught me how to do something I did not know how to do.
Are you kidding me? That's insane. Okay, what did she teach you to do? I can't let this fly.
She taught me how to look like the Hulk on Zoom, because there's a way that you can change the chroma key so that instead of going over the background, it goes over your face. So I made myself green.
I love it. All right.
Yeah. So just I learned how to tune my own piano. A lot of new electronic music things that I'm working on right now that when I do my night of the Biophilia Records online festival, I'll highlight a lot of the things I'm doing.
I like how you just like casually passed off how you learned to tune your own piano.
I mean, I have immense respect for the craft, even more so now than I did before. It is tedious work.
But you're even, again, bearing your own lead here. What you're really working on is this music festival celebrating the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, celebrating your record label, Biophilia Records. Who's going to be on this bill? And what's the time window here?
What we do have confirmed as of now is Endless Field. They're an amazing duo, as you mentioned earlier. Beyond that, we have 13 more performances that are going to occur. And I shouldn't say performances, because it'll also be Q&A with the audience. We'll also do premieres, and some of the better known names, my wife, Linda Mahan Oh, Justin Brown. We're going to have Adam O'Farrell as well, and also Tropos. They're these young kids that went to New England Conservatory, and they're doing a tribute to Anthony Braxton's 75th birthday. I absolutely love these guys.
And you have a concert featuring Sarah Serpa, who is about to release a forthcoming recording called Recognition. Let's listen to The Multiracialism Myth.
Thank you.
We just heard The Multiracialism Myth, performed by Sarah Serpa from a forthcoming recording on biophilia called Recognition. And when is she performing? Where can people go to find out more information about everything you're doing?
You can go to our website, Biophilia Records, sign up for the newsletter there. We'll be sending updates. Otherwise, you can check out our social media. We'll be posting all sorts of updates.
The first premiere of this online festival, as you mentioned, is with this duo, Endless Field. It's called Alive in the Wilderness, their second biophilia release, but where they actually go into southern Utah, record a combination of composed material, but also just free improv jams, spectacular stuff. I guess it was their idea to do this, to go to, I mean, how did this even project come about? And did they pitch it to you and were like, this is what we're doing? And you're like, okay.
Well, I mean, they were mid-sentence and I was like, okay. Well, one thing that we haven't mentioned is the fact that both of these musicians as human beings are just wonderful, generous people. They are donating the entire proceeds of this album to the NRDC, which stands for Natural Resources Defense Council. They really care about the environment, as do I. It's just amazing to me that people like them exist. I am honored that they are releasing this music on my label, and I mean, not to sound overly ambitious, but I really do want to make the world a better place, and to be able to give Ike and Jesse the means to share their music just means the world to me.
Well, why don't we bring you the video premiere that we're doing with you guys, and you can go watch it by going to our website right now. Check out jazz.org, WBGO.org, or on our Facebook pages called Life on Earth. We just heard Life on Earth with Endless Field performing next to a tree. Is there a river that we're hearing in the background too? I think there is, right?
Well, you're hearing everything. You're hearing the rustling of the leaves and, yeah, water. Yeah.
Very cool. And so let's just get into the nitty-gritty of biophilia. I mean, you launched this label so that it would have a very specific mission of living on this earth, you know, and celebrating life on this earth, keeping in mind sustainability, energy. Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, your sort of core mission statement of the label?
Yeah, I mean, in addition to all the things you mentioned, when making a point or an argument for taking care of the environment is our own children, you know, our future generations. For me, I just feel this sense of urgency. Seeing everything that's going around in the world as far as conservation and sustainability. We are currently going through the sixth mass extinction in the planet. It's currently happening right now, which means that more than 50% of the species on Earth are going extinct. I can't just hear that and not do something about it. I just have to. I don't want to be on my deathbed having the regret of not acting on something that I feel so passionate about. And honestly, not just because I like to look at butterflies or birds or anything, it really does have an impact on all of humanity and future generations. And I like music, so why not?
Exactly. Well, why don't we listen to the third movement from your record. What is it called again, and what is the translation?
Alcanza, is that the one you're speaking of?
That's right.
Yeah, alcanza just means to reach. And man, I think right now the concept of reaching is very applicable to the circumstances. It basically means don't give up. Like, if you want to reach for something, reach for it, you know, alcanza.
Well, do you know why I may have chose this movement, the movement three? Do you have any speculation?
Vedla, yeah. Yeah, Vedla means to see her. And a lot of people think that's a love song, but it's actually, it's the truth. Because in Spanish, you know, everything has a gender. So to Vedla means to see the truth.
Well, you know what else I see in my imagination when I listen to this track is you playing next to a tree or a lake or, you know, it has that kind of vibe.
Well, I play with a tree because my instrument is made from a tree, so.
There you go. How much does the space of a place inform the music that you play?
Well, I've been thinking about that a lot recently because, you know, as pragmatic as I am, not to say anything negatively about people that, you know, speak about energies and all this stuff. Like I'm very scientifically minded, but I will say there is a certain intangible energy that irrefutably exists when you are performing in a room with an audience. No words need to be said. Nothing. You can just feel the energy of an audience as a performer on stage. Most of the time I'm not facing the audience because as a pianist, I'm facing the back of the stage. But I don't have to see them. I don't have to hear them. I can feel their energy. And, you know, the circumstances that we find ourselves in now, there really is not that sort of energy when we perform online with the audience. So that's really, really fascinating to me. My wife and I did live streaming a couple days ago, and what we're going to be doing more of them coming up. And it was unlike any performance I've ever done before, because it's, I don't know, it's pretty hard to describe. So to answer your question, yeah, it absolutely impacts the performance in a very abstract way that I can't define based on where you're performing. So,
and what about a little, taking it a step deeper, what about when you're premeditating on actual composition? And the notes that you're constructing that way, and thinking about the space that that composition will be played in. Let's just say if it's a through composed piece, does that, are you thinking about that too?
Yeah, I am. Honestly, if you ask any musician, you'll get a different answer for all of us. But yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of composition. The possibilities are endless. Field. You know, they're endless.
Endless field. I like that.
and you know, something I was going to mention before is, as a pianist, it's pretty difficult for me to like go up to a canyon in Utah and play. So I can't even imagine how I don't know, like visceral it must be to play outside. I actually really want to hear what Ike and Jesse have to say about that experience.
Well, we'll hear from them in just a moment. All right, so now joining us, the two members of Endless Field, guitarist Jesse Lewis and Ike Sturm on bass, Alive in the Wilderness. Just before you listen to this conversation, maybe you should just go to our website right now and watch their video, Life on Earth, so you have a little context of what we're talking about, or go to our Facebook page. Jesse, Ike, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Simon. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so who's the madman that came up with this idea?
Well, it's been a process. We, after our first record, we actually tried to record some video outdoors, and the inspiration for this project happened, you know, in hiking and running and doing stuff outside together, and after our first project, which was really more of a studio album, with a lot of our friends in New York, we sort of just started to, it was a combination of sort of challenges from people saying, well, you know, this could be done. Was this a real pure recording outside? And we were able to just imagine what might be the next step. So it's been kind of an organic process, but I would credit Jesse actually with more of the vision for
this. Of course it was Jesse, because he plays the guitar, the most portable instrument ever invented.
Yeah, he got the raw end of that deal for sure. Although I did have a pretty heavy bag filled with percussion that I had to schlep around too.
So. That I carried, yeah.
All right, well, let's listen to exactly what we're talking about. Take us to a tune here, and what's the backdrop?
Wow, it's hard to decide. The one that's coming to mind right now is called The Well. The Well was recorded by this incredibly beautiful waterfall that we found in sort of a forest area. And it was a pretty intense hike with a lot of gear to get up there and climbing up this mountain. 3 or 4 hours of just schlepping gear.
Back and forth.
Yeah, and then setting up all the audio, you know, basically the mobile recording station. So we spent hours and hours and hours just getting to locations, setting everything up. And then it was like, it was really intense actually, because then, you know, you spend a whole day, you know, getting somewhere. You've brought this whole team of people out there. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay guys, it's like everything's set up, go record. It was like pretty intense because, you know, your hands would be hurting, your body would be hurting from hiking, and sort of the weight of this moment of getting to these locations and then having to, you know, make an album. It was quite an amazing experience. And The Well was just one that came to mind. You know, there were some challenges because the waterfall, I mean, we really wanted to record by a waterfall because it was just so beautiful. But the waterfall was also like super loud. And so that was one acoustically that was challenging because we could almost barely hear ourselves playing in that location because the waterfall was so overwhelming, you know, sonically.
The Well, recorded in the endangered wilderness of southern Utah, also released on Biophilia, Alive in the Wilderness. But hopefully you can watch the video sometime near in the future as well. So 17 tracks, 17 videos, does that equal 17 days? Or do you try to do one song a day, basically?
Pretty close. Yeah, we were... basically, we discovered as we got out there, we had planned to do some improvisations, kind of weaving these 9 songs together, just to give us a chance to actually interact with the spaces where we found ourselves. And I don't think either of us were prepared. We do a lot of improvising together, but we weren't really prepared for what that was going to feel like out there. And I think even digging back into the tracks afterwards, it was like we were shocked at what we found, you know, the interaction with sounds in the space and birds that were literally communicating with us while we're in a musical way, while we're recording. To answer your first question, we did have about, I guess, 13 days. Some of the free improvisations were recorded, several of those within one day. We would do like an hour-long session and just blow. And they were 12 or 13 hour days. I mean, there were some points of like true physical exhaustion, like between the playing and the, but the interesting part of it, I think it put us in a really different mindset for playing. And I think Jesse and I both felt like it's some of our, the playing was in a really natural space because we weren't held up in the way that you are in a studio where you get inside your head a little bit. You're much more in your body because you're just so physically exhausted that you're able to just sort of play where you are in that moment. So it was an interesting process. But yeah, it was 2 weeks of solid, you know, trekking and recording. So
Why don't you take us to our next tune? Like, should we go with your solo in a canyon? Because that's, I don't know, man, that might be my favorite. I have to watch them all over again, but that is just absolutely spectacular.
There's kind of a funny backstory to that. One of my dear friends, Alan Ferber and Jody Redditch, are a couple and neighbors of ours. And Alan Ferber, the great trombone player, and Jody's a fantastic cellist. And their son is quite a musician himself, and he's 7. And he heard me playing solo bass at St. Peter's back, I don't know, before we recorded. And when he heard me playing, he got all excited and said, you know, he came up to me and he said, "That's funk," which made me laugh. It surprised me so much. And I was sort of playing this free improvisation solo piece. And I said, "Well, actually, I'm working on this piece that I'm going to record this summer. Do you have an idea for the name of it?" And he said, without any hesitation, he said, "Wolfhead." And I started cracking up because he was just so matter of fact about it. Heading out there was this kind of weight that came about it for me when we didn't know which day we were going to record Wolfhead, because it was, we had to really adapt dynamically day to day based on the weather, based on which locations were becoming available to us, where we could find. You're sort of exploring while we had done a lot of recon in advance, but you're exploring as the trip unfolds and trying to find the most diverse locations possible. And so when we discovered this canyon, we just lit up because it's just an unbelievable place. Jesse, the night before, he said, "Okay, tomorrow morning is the day." And I looked at the calendar and it's actually the 5th anniversary of when my dad had passed away, who was a musician and a big part of the inspiration for this trip, because he took me to a ton of national parks and took me out west when I was a kid. And you know, listening to Pat Metheny records on the way out, and here we are talking with Fabian and Linda, who's playing with Pat. It's all these crazy connections that come together. But that day in the canyon, you know, there was a really deep kind of spiritual and emotional connection to that place and that day. When you put your bow on the bass or you play a low note on the instrument, and in that space with whatever it was, 200 or 300 feet straight up above you, the sound is just raw and so powerful. And just playing in that space, you know, I was scared going into it because I really had no idea what I was going to play. And you know, when you record an album, it's like you want it to be dialed in, you want it to be the best you can play. And I knew I was in a vulnerable place because I had no idea what was going to come out. And literally the first ideas that came out in the space are what's on the album.
This canyon has to have a name, right?
Yeah, it does. I don't know if we can say it. it's a sort of a secret place that we were able to find, and we're a little bit protective about that area. And so we've kind of made an intention of not naming where that place is on purpose. So
the other thing about this whole kind of nature music experiment is the sound. They sound so good, my brain has a hard time reconciling that these were actually recorded in nature, because it sounds like a studio.
Thank you for saying that. You know, we weren't sure if that was gonna come together. We did a few test runs, even going back to the summer before, to see if it was even possible to do this and what it could sound like. We were really lucky. A good friend of mine that I actually went to college with, a guy named Dana Nielsen, he's a super heavy engineer out in LA, and he mixed our last album. We got him on board to come out and do this project, and he just took it so seriously. Him and his friend Philip Broussard, they're both really high level engineers out in LA.
And also, let's give the videographer, art director, credit too. Who is that?
We stumbled upon this guy named Christopher Georgia, who takes astrophotography of, he does a lot of time lapse and evening stuff looking at Aeroglow, which is sort of like Aurora Borealis, but it's just incredible work that he's done. And he's worked a lot with National Geographic and other film team.
Take us to the track that looks like you're in the wheat fields. What is that?
The wheat field, that is Prayer for the Earth.
Prayer for the Earth from Alive in the Wilderness, Endless Field. All of the proceeds from this music are being given to the Natural Resources Defense Council. And their mission statement is, you want to help support their work combining climate change and protecting the very wilderness areas where we recorded. Is this Utah area actually protected nationally or locally?
That's a huge question. I mean, it was amazing because we really chose this location based on having such a diverse set of regions where we could record, and you know, visually and sonically. But when we found ourselves out there last summer, it's when the rest of the world was learning about a lot of the conflict at Bear's Ears, and even in our area where we filmed it around Escalante and Grand Staircase National Monument, there's a lot of talk about opening up that land for all sorts of use. And it really, you know, it's hard to read about that or hear about that, but when you're in a location like that with the people that live there and love that land, and you see that as this national resource and this national treasure that we have, it really hits home to think about that land and how vulnerable it is and how much choice we have in terms of like which direction we go politically with all that right now.
All right, so what was the most harrowing or challenging recording moment during this exercise? Was it when the fly flew in your ear and bit you? I know it did symbolically with your recording engineer, but it probably happened literally too. Or did a bee sting you in your ass? I don't know. What happened?
I think there were a couple. I don't know. Jesse's probably thinking of the same moments that I am right now. They're all kind of flooding my memory right now. But we went up into the Slot Canyon to record a tune called Heart. That one, for me, I think my arm literally just healed about a month ago from that. I'm not kidding. I was like, I thought I was really prepared for that. But carrying my bass, it was all sand and it was up this cliff. And the cliff was about 100 feet tall. Actually, it must have been about 99 feet because we had a 100-foot audio snake to go to the computer. And
oh my God.
We discovered when we
That's brought a nightmare.
Down that we had a foot. It was completely insane. And getting the instruments up was easier than getting them down. And when we started to come down, it was like there were some kind of fearful moments where we're like, you know, we knew it was on edge and we liked that. But it was definitely like a question of like, wow, how far are we going to take this?
Now, when you injured your arm, did that affect your playing too, or?
A little bit. There were so many things happening. I think
it's just pure adrenaline. You're like, I don't feel anything.
It is, but there were a lot of lows where we'd have to kind of keep tabs on each other. Like, I know there were some times where I was just starting to get like completely exhausted. There was a time where I got dehydrated actually, and there's one recording where there's like a dialogue between the bass and the a bird. Bird just started like creating this groove and I started reacting to it, and it's one of my favorite moments that happened out there.
What's the name of that?
Maybe it's called Creature.
A bird gave you a percussion.
Yeah, I was about to record and I got really dehydrated in that place, and Jesse, his strings would go. That was another thing that happened. My bass cracked actually out there because it's like 4% humidity out there, and it popped, and it was like a violent sound. I mean, it sounded like somebody like snapping a baseball bat or something. I was totally freaked out.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. It was on the first day. It was actually on the very first day of the trip too.
When we were recording Prayer for the Earth out in that field, like the bass popped around the sun, and I knew it was a danger. I had dampets to try to keep the humidity, but it's literally like, you know, it's so arid, it's like 4% humidity out there.
I feel like you both need to do like a pilgrimage to Brazil and hang out with Hermeto Pascoal or something.
That'd be great.
I don't know what we're going to do next, but yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
I feel like this kind of thing could be a series. I mean, you got me thinking because, you know, videos are so important now these days, especially, I mean, you sort of hit the jackpot in a really kind of weird and demented and twisted way, because your videos reflect two things kind of organically without your intention, of course, with the social distancing organically playing out in front of our eyes, but also, you know, we're on pause with this whole global warming thing, with everything being shut down for the moment. It's kind of odd. It's like the gods are like, yes, this is the time for this project.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that coalesced in positive and negative that we could never have envisioned. I mean, also the ability to share this music, like people are literally stuck in their homes and apartments and can't get outside. And part of the intention with this project was, how can we bring people on this journey with us to these places, and like having no idea where we would be right now. I mean, it just feels like, kind of gives me goosebumps thinking about it. I'm hoping that for others, they can like go to some of these places and sit there and take it in and I'm literally talking with friends of mine in New York that like literally can't, their health is in danger and they can't leave their apartment for anything. So the ability to this kind of gift that was handed to us to be able to pass along is the timing of that is hopefully helpful to some people.
You just listened to Old Man from the second release from Endless Field, Ike Sturm, Jesse Lewis, Alive in the Wilderness, recorded in the Wilderness Alive in Utah. And you can join both of them, including the videographer and the esteemed engineer, in a Q&A taking place. Fabian Almazan will be hosting the conversation streamed on YouTube, but you can only watch it by buying tickets, and go to our Facebook page to learn more about it. In just a moment, we'll bring you our first installment of a new project. I'm so excited to bring you something that I've been working on with actually my wife, Sarah Giletti, who works as a producer and writer for Jazz Night in America, hosted by Christian McBride. So we came up with this project speaking with couples in quarantine, called Alone Together. It'll actually be a video series. If you follow Jazz Night in America's socials, you can watch the videos eventually, but we're bringing you the audio only of this Alone Together series, just something to make people out there feel a little better, because I know there's a lot of stress out there, and hopefully this may uplift you. Our first guest.
Hi, my name is Fabian Almazan. We are here in our apartment in Harlem. Si hablo en español, soy Fabian Almazan, soy pianista. And this is my beautiful wife.
Hi, my name is Linda Mahan Oh, and we're really happy to be doing this video for WBGO. And hope everyone is staying safe and sound during these difficult times. So now we're going to open up these secret questions that we have not seen before.
Let's do it.
Okay, number one. First of all, who wears pajamas the most?
I sleep naked.
So then you would wear... No.
Nude, whatever. Go. Next.
Okay, number two. When your partner gets the corona blues, what do you do to cheer them up?
We've been playing Bob Marley.
Yeah, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Been doing some cooking. Well, you've kind of answered number three. What's your coronavirus soundtrack?
Yeah, Bob Marley right now.
What dumb thing that you do is probably driving your partner nuts? Well, I can say that Fabian has now a saw. What kind of saw is it?
A table saw.
A table saw. So it is amazing what you've done. Fabian's rigging up a hydroponics little contraption here and for vegetables.
Aquaponics. Yeah, there's like a
And aquaponics. For legal plants.
We're all
plants.
Very suspicious.
And I'm very, very proud, and I'm so lucky to have a partner who's so proactive and handy. But yes, a table saw in a small two-bedroom apartment in Harlem can get a little noisy.
Next.
Love you.
I love you too.
What's the best or worst improvised meal you've made in quarantine? We want details.
No, I mean, Linda is an amazing cook. I have like a couple dishes. I make three or so. I used to think I was a good cook, but then she started cooking and I realized I wasn't. Well, I guess the mushrooms came out a little chewy.
Mm.
But that's because we killed them.
We're growing mushrooms as well, so...
Wow, so No weed and no magic mushrooms.
No, the pink oyster mushrooms.
Yes.
And we harvested them and...
And shiitake mushrooms too. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Awkward.
Number six, what's your 20 second hand wash song? Happy birthday, right?
Yeah, happy birthday.
Which, it was Fabian's birthday yesterday, so... I don't know when this will come out, but April 16th. Number seven, what's the one hidden talent or thing you uncovered about your partner during this quarantine?
Linda Mahan Oh is a very busy person. She never has time to do anything, and now she does, so she's reading a lot, which is nice.
What's something I've uncovered about you?
I don't know.
You're very handy.
She just noticed I have a unibrow, like, yesterday. Okay.
Eight, who do you trust to give the better haircut? I gave myself a haircut.
Oh yeah, you did. It looked beautiful. Yeah.
Bit uneven.
My hair, let's not talk about it.
When was the last time you cut your hair? Okay. Number nine, what advice do you have for couples stuck alone together?
I don't know, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
Like each other. I don't know.
Food is good. Zooming with family is good. It's really nice that we haven't, since all of this, we've actually spoken to our family more than we ever have via Zoom, and our families in various places around the world.
Yeah, I mean, be comfortable in your own skin, embrace who you are, and hopefully your partner will like that. Recycle.
Number 10, what's the first thing you are going to do after the quarantine?
I'd like to go look at birds. I started doing a lot more wildlife photography right before this all happened, and right now it's migration season, and I really wanted to go look at some birds.
I would love to go for a swim. Swimming is my number one thing to do. We are very lucky. We have the Riverbank State Park right near us with a public pool, and swimming is just great, whether it be at the beach or somewhere. So hopefully the weather will be nice for that.
And I mean, for me also, I have, you know, my parents that they're older than me, as is typically the case. So I can't see them in person. I also have friends who are in their 70s and 80s that I wish I could see, but I can't see. So as soon as there's a vaccination, I will do that, because that's the right thing to do. Vaccines are good for you. You know who I'm talking to. Actually, I don't know if you do. We're now going to play Hacia el Aire, which is one of my compositions, and it's Spanish for Towards the Air. I was inspired by the actions of an organization, a nonprofit organization in the Washington, D.C. area called the Earth Conservation Corps. And among other things, they rehabilitate bald eagles that live around the Anacostia River. The reason for the title Towards the Air is because when they release these eagles, they are named after their caretakers, who a lot of them have lost their lives due to gun violence in the DC area, so this is dedicated to them.
Linda Mahan Oh and Fabian Almazan in their apartment in Harlem, New York City, a part of our Alone Together series, Couples in Quarantine, the checkout with Jazz Night in America. And watch out for the videos by following Jazz Night in America's social pages on Facebook and Instagram, wherever. And we'll bring more of these to you each coming week. Thank you to Endless Field. Thank you to Fabian Almazan. I Sleep Naked. Sorry, I'm always remember that one. Linda Mahan Oh and her awkward pauses. Definitely go to the Checkouts Facebook page right now where you can buy tickets to see all of the events occurring. 14 performances for the first ever Biophilia Virtual Music Festival. Fabian Almazan will be performing April 26th. Adam O'Farrell will be performing May 1st with his father, Arturo O'Farrell. May 2nd features Kim Anderson. May 9th, Linda Mahan Oh will perform. May 10th, Desmond White. And May 21st, Sarah Serpa. If you like what we do, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Music. Your reviews help us boost our visibility in the podcasting realm, or do so on Stitcher or wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. And you can find me on Instagram, our Twitter handle, at Checkout Jazz. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.